This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, good morning, all. As we get closer to the playoffs and an Eagles-Bucks game, and of course, Howard Askin joins us every single Thursday at this time. The King brought to us by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Let's talk to the King, Howard Askin. Good morning, King.
Good morning.
Great morning, Howard. They got a bye. Howard, does the bye worry you at all? I mean, obviously, it's a good thing. I mean, we think it's a good thing, but we've seen teams struggle after it. Does it worry you?
The history says it could be an issue.
Yeah.
So I think last year, two of the teams with the bye lost.
Three of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes you out of your routine.
But doesn't this team have
rest, and they, you know, you want to get your pitcher set up and, you know, all those kind of things, but so did everybody else who had the bye. So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, there's other concerns. I mean, the lineup has inconsistencies. The pitching, I'm okay with the starters. I'm not sure about the bullpen, but they are a good team. I mean,
clearly,
we know they're
Howard. How
the
would
last
you...
couple of years' failures, though, do they give us a better chance this time around, Howard?
Why would it give us a better chance?
Because we've seen what works and what doesn't work. We've got the experience. The players who've been there, they can have their heartbeat a little bit slower because they're not getting as nervous for the postseason games. It really does help that you've been there before.
What? But so have the so have players been there before who have lost in the first round after the bye. So I think you can put too much into that you've been there before. It is different. The pitching's different. The intensity's different. Mm-hmm. But it is for everybody.
Yeah, I'm with you. Howard, who's your second starter? Who's the third starter?
Well, it's Nola and
Sanchez.
I might do Sanchez as your third starter.
But you stick with Nola too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, and Ruben, you said Nola. Larry Anderson said, and a lot of people are saying Sanchez. We'll see.
But he said that before last night where it was a little shakier.
I'm aware. I know. I get it. No, all right, King, let's talk some football here with you, my man.
Okay, so I've got something that I want to
address. Oh, you got something. Let's go. Just floor is yours. Go for it.
Okay, since so many people treat Nick Sirianni as a pinata, you know, and you focus on that play right before the half with 14 seconds left. So now I'm going to give people the facts because I've checked this and checked this and, like, what happened here? All right, so he calls a play which last year went for a touchdown. Now, I know Saquon Barkley wasn't here, but that play went for a touchdown last year. Okay, so let's move past that. So you assume there's going to be a first down. However, the players lined up incorrectly. Now, see, that puts a little. I would have gone for the field goal without knowing this stuff, and now I've got to try to rethink it. The players were lined up incorrectly. So then, now I've checked. Well,
the players were lined up for the tush push play.
Whatever they were lined up, That play was practiced multiple times last week. They have practiced that play, and now they line up incorrectly.
So they be an offensive lineman, Howard?
I'm not sure who. Well, it probably was, but
I'm not sure.
It certainly could be a wide receiver because you've got additional wide receivers
on the outside.
Can you guys just slow down for a second? Let me just complete everything that happened. They were lined up incorrectly. Now the coach wants to call a timeout, however, he can't. because they had called a timeout. And if you call two consecutively, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
So now he's got to go with it. So now, assuming they still would have gotten the first down, depending on the time, he would have likely, and sorting through this and talking to people, if he had enough time, taken one shot at the end zone and still left you enough time, because you know how much time you need for a play. And then he would have kicked the field goal. But the whole problem here, the problem is that the players were lined up incorrectly.
Wow.
And nobody gives, they always say, well, it's a coach's fault. And then there's no accountability for the players. Now, doesn't that put a little different spin on it? If the players are lined up incorrectly for the play you want to run, and he's now forced not to be able to call a timeout because he's called a timeout.
Howard, well, if those players are Jahan Dotson and some other wide receiver who didn't practice the whole week, then, I can understand why they wouldn't know how to line up. But it's not excusable.
I can understand
why it would happen.
Don't make excuses for the players, John. Please. Please don't make excuses for the players.
Do you understand what I said?
I don't know who it was. Hey, John, I don't know who was lined up incorrectly. I do know absolutely 100% they were lined up incorrectly. And that's the player's responsibility. I don't give a damn if a guy's here for 3 seconds. If he's been coached to run that play, which they did during the week, it's the same thing. You know, I got people telling me, well, they were lucky with the Dallas Goedert play. That was practice because they saw, and the same thing with the play with 14 seconds left. They saw what New Orleans usually did, and now they coached a play up for that defense. The same thing with Dallas Goedert. They looked at New Orleans defense, and that play was coached hoping that something, maybe not as drastic as three guys running together, coached that the pick would work and the play would be successful. So when you blame the coach, why don't you give him credit for what he's done properly?
No, I agree. He should deserve. I think he gets unfairly maligned for some stuff.
There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question he gets unfair by the fans who want to fire him. They don't like. This guy is a good coach. Is he the best coach in football? No, he's not. But Andy Reid is. But people didn't like Andy Reid when he was here. And so
Howard, you know, I understand. No, I understand
your
point. You
can't always blame the coach. It's so sickening. Listen, if he's wrong and he makes mistakes, and at first I came out and said he should have kicked the field goal. And then I said, you know, like, what happened here? And then I kind of sort through a bunch of different people with the team, and this is what happened. I said, now I got to rethink that. Maybe he was doing the right thing.
Okay. All right. Howard, let me ask you this question, and it's not going to be, do the Eagles have a good team? I'm going to ask you this question. Do the Eagles have a very good team?
Do you need to be very good in the NFC? I'm going to ask you a question.
Well, you need to be at least very good to win the Super Bowl. At least very good.
Well, you got to get first steps first. You got to.
Well, I'm last steps last kind of guy. I'm last steps first kind of guy.
Are the Phillies very good to win the World Series?
They're a very good team. The Phillies are a great team, and they have a great chance to win the World Series.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have confidence that they're going to win?
Well, when there's 12 teams that make the playoffs, it gets funky. But the reality is this. The great teams in football, typically one of the great teams typically wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but how many great teams are there? I'm looking at the NFC. Is Detroit a great team? No. Minnesota's 3-0. Are they a great team? I think they lose on Sunday. Are they a great team? No. They're a good team. San Francisco's not a great team. It's history shows you after you lose the Super Bowl. Are they a great team? Who's a great team in the NFC?
I don't know. I don't know if there is one.
We're trying to figure that out.
Is Kansas City a great team?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
They haven't played like a great team.
Do you know Patrick Mahomes has had more pass interference calls in his favor since it's either 2018 or 2019, than any quarterback in football, any quarterback. And they won a game against Cincinnati because they got a pass interference call. They won a game against Atlanta because the official choked and didn't call a pass interference. So they would have lost that game. It's just, are they a great team? No. They were a great team. I don't know if they're a good team. They have issues. They have issues. Kelsey's invisible. Patrick Mahomes is not playing like the best quarterback in the league right now. So tell me, how many great, very
good
teams
are there? But I'm just trying to figure out if the Eagles are one.
The Eagles are a good team.
Reuben, it wasn't that. Are they good? They're very good. Hey, by the way,
because the way you asked the question is foolish. They're a good
team. Well, it's a yes, no. Are they a very good team? I would say no.
No,
I don't think they're a very good team. I don't think.
They're a good team. Are they good enough to make the Super Bowl? Like everybody, they have to improve based on the other teams. Yeah, I think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl, but they have to get better if they're going to win the Super Bowl.
All right, King, stay well, my man.
Good
have
thing
a good.
It's just right, three games in.
I took that pinata down with Nick Sirianni's face on it, and you got to think it through a little bit more. It's not going to change anything, and people are going to rip me for just protecting the cut. No, this is what happened. That's all.
All right, it sounds Howard, like a lot of the credit.
Howard, stay well, buddy.
To Kellen Moore, too.
Thanks, man. Thank you, Howard.
Yeah. All right, now.
All right, there he is. He was ornery. He was very ornery today.
Oh, yeah. Today.
Feisty Howard today.
No, but
today.
More feisty than normal.
Like, well, he was upset about the Sirianni, pinata thing.
He was.
Yeah, he was getting picked apart.
Pretty clearly.
But let's not act like Sirianni doesn't deserve some blame. I mean, he cuts both ways.
Howard's never ripped a coach before, right? I mean,
hold on. But then it was, these plays were designed, what he was saying was they're man beaters. Like, we went into that game with man beaters. I agree. That's good that we had those. We saw Dallas Goedert run those man beaters. One this way, one this way. It worked both times. Kellen Moore. I mean, I think Kellen Moore had a lot to do with
that,
too.
That's an example of play design and a quarterback who's learned it and adapted it to the game in the moment with an audible. That's good football.
It's a combination of good coaching and execution.
That's good football right there. All right, Joe in Horsham right now. Joe, you're on WIP.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Joe?
What's up, Joseph?
Well, I'm doing well. This is getting a little philosophical. I've been watching baseball a long time.
Uh-oh.
The Phils having a bye, and actually Howard made a good point, believe it or not. I think you have to treat baseball as a completely different animal. I think the fans and people just in general tend to lump baseball with other sports, and I don't really think you can game plan like you can for football and probably basketball and some other sports.
Yeah, I would say it's more, it goes up, players go up and down more in baseball. Like, a 23-point scorer in basketball doesn't typically score 4 points in a game. A great baseball player who's got a .330 average can go 0-for-12 in three games pretty easily. It's a weird sport like that.
Absolutely. I always consider
it. Sorry, say it again.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's right.
And the best hitter can struggle against the worst pitcher and the worst, it's just weird matchups. Right.
Like
all
Michael
that
Jordan
stuff.
Would never be stopped almost by anybody. But certainly not by a scrub player.
Exactly, whereas a scrub pitcher can come in and shut Bryce Harper down four times in a game,
correct.
No problem.
Yeah, okay. It's a weird sport like that.
And vice versa.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Joe, you made like a good point. You know, it's 12 teams and football is more predictable. But baseball's always been an unpredictable sport. I always considered an individual sport that's played as a team. Like everybody, a batter's batting by himself, a fielder's fielding when a ball's hit to him, and a pitcher's pitching.
Sure.
So along those lines about the bye, during downtime, what are they going to do? They're going to take fielding reps. They're going to take a lot of hitting
I would
reps.
Play a game, Joe, and then honestly, I would play another. That's just me. I would just go out there and play a baseball game at Citizens Bank Park. Innings.
And I don't disagree with you because
guys, you're going to have a mutiny if you get a little pushy.
I don't understand.
You want them to be active. They understand they need to be active. But saying, hey, play a game, now go play another game, it's a little heavy-handed.
Declare that you would have been the worst baseball manager in the history of mankind.
I might win, though. I mean, look, guys, I get it. You might take off the players and you might get someone injured. But I'd rather take my chances with that than rust.
You'd be willing to injure baseball players, unwilling to injure football players by practicing.
It's easier to play baseball and not get hurt than it is to play football and not get hurt.
Then why do we have so many injuries this year?
Because
it's way easier to play baseball and not get hurt. I mean, that's an argument.
All right, Joe, give me a great answer. What has happened only one time ever?
Can I make just a couple more quick
points? Just give me one quick point. I got to move to a lot of stuff here.
Okay. There's a lot of uncontrollables too. The line drive.
We know that. Hey, Joe, just give me an answer, my man. For the.
Right.
I'm sorry. Give me an answer. What do you got?
I believe that I took my daughter to on a road trip and we stopped in Niagara Falls and I heard anecdotally that the Niagara Falls has only stopped flowing once in the history.
Correct.
In history.
Well, how did that happen?
I believe
it.
Wow.
Froze.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it seems
crazy,
right? Strange to me.
I mean, I would assume that's what stopped
can't
it.
Can't believe it would right? get that cold up there. To
somebody put a big log and just blocked the...
Stop.
Big
no.
log.
Come on.
Big Quit log.
It. There's Quit no it. Big log.
Yeah, a big log blocked the water flow.
That Stop would be... It. That would be like an... Yeah, like a meteor type situation.
Yeah, I'm just
yeah.
saying.
Sometimes we were talking about extinction events earlier.
Have to do it.
No, it has to be freezing.
Sometimes a big log can... Block,
that's that
block,
law.
Block
what are we doing?
You've been
doing?
There, man.
Rain it in. Rain it the hell in here.
Well, it went south fast.
Way too fast there.
All right, so let's get to... Sorry. The Twitter
poll. Oh, really yikes.
The Twitter poll question of the day brought to
apparently
us by...
Apparently millions of tons of ice got lodged at the mouth oh. of the Niagara River.
And that didn't happen in the Ice Age also?
It was
the
in
ice freaking age?
1848,
Oh, yeah,
Jeff.
What, you thinking the Ice Age Niagara Falls was flowing?
I don't think it existed.
No, I'm crossing that one
you
off.
Didn't call it
There's
the
no
Niagara
such
Falls.
Thing as Niagara Falls in the Ice Age.
Out! Ice Age blocked it all. All right.
Joe Science. Right, again.
It's true, though.
Again,
it's
Joe,
true.
Today, Joe went and delved deep yeah. into science.
No, but it's like when people say...
It doesn't work.
This is the coldest day ever in Philadelphia. Oh, really?
The chickens have four
well, technically,
four
anyone
yeah.
check the Ice Age?
Four well, it wasn't hey, Philadelphia
did you know that,
then.
Did you know no, yesterday well, he didn't know that a tadpole became a frog? Yesterday
Stop.
We learned
that
he had no idea tadpole led to
oh,
frog.
It was, Stop.
It was
that
clipped.
Was yesterday.
It was clipped.
He's
all right.
46.
All right, we
got
to close out the poll from last hour. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. All right, let's go on the record. Which of these is the best character or an example of a fictional royal? James, first crack at it. The Lion King, the Night King, Prince Charming.
The Lion King.
Rhea?
Lion King.
Reuben?
Lion.
Knight. I'm not saying he's a good guy. But what a character. The Night King.
You need to see the Lion King to comment on this character.
Exactly.
The Lion King is the best.
It's not even close.
Lion King wins. He's got 60% of the vote.
Wow.
Charming with 25. Night King 15.
All right. That should tell you a lot.
To the finals go the following. The Lion King.
Great.
Prince Zamunda of, Prince Akeem of Zamunda and Zeus, King of the Gods. They're against each other in the finals. We'll get to those results coming up next. James, let's do a little life advice with the hammer.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe the Camel?
The hammer.
Well, I'm an idiot.
I know
idiot.
This.
Idiot.
All the science teachers I had, they've all got to be disgusted when they hear me on this show.
Oh, they must be like throwing their radio across the room if they still have one.
But I think I bring some common sense to this. But anyway. Life advice brought to you by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. Seltzer, what does someone need help with today?
All right, we're going to help Russ out. Russ, he says, hey, Hammer, I was born and raised in the Philadelphia area. 20 years ago, at the age of 27, my wife's job relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina. My loyalty has remained with the teams I grew up watching, obviously. I now have a 13-year-old son who was born and raised here in Charlotte. When he started school, he wanted to be like the other kids and claim the Panthers as his team.
Oh, boy.
For obvious reasons, the last 2 to 3 years, as he's becoming a bigger sports fan, have been hard for him to cheer for his quote-unquote hometown team. He's at the point where he doesn't really care to watch them anymore and would rather wait until the Birds game comes on and periodically throughout the week gives me stats and injury updates from previous Eagles games. Question, do I allow him to change his allegiance that he hasn't really established yet and cheer for the Eagles, or do I make him cheer for the team in the area he was born and first rooted
for? You allow
for?
Him to change, of course. If he wants to be an Eagles fan, he's an Eagles fan.
Make him.
This is a great... Man, this would have been fascinating if it was the other way yeah. around. Like, if you were the dad trying to instill Eagles in your son or daughter, and then they were going the other way in a town, that would be more complicated. This is like, if he's headed that way... Let him head that way.
Bring him.
Yeah, you don't even need to probably say
much. It seems like you have a problem with this in other situations.
Yeah, you have been very stickler about these rules.
Your door to fans of other
teams, you might say.
But he's in the under 18 rule.
Oh.
Oh, is that a rule? Because yeah, I know that I was a pretty big sports fan before I was 18. I would like
no, but
I wouldn't have allowed myself to change. Like, no one should allow me to change. Yeah. I was a Philadelphia sports fan. And that's
NFL
it.
Sundays
like, done. By 13, done.
Yeah, but here's my rule.
Like, allegiances are set.
Here's my rule in the under 18 rule. Here's what it means. Kids are, let's be real, not as smart. Okay, they're not fully developed. And so you get some grace period.
But that's where you develop your true loyalty as a fan. I mean, the 93 Phils, we got one sitting right here. I mean, that was formative. That was, you know.
I know.
So, like.
Joe, I'm not going to lie. When Clark was three, I told him Santa would not bring him presents if he ever really.
Yo, look, I'm with you. I forced it on Zoe. She doesn't have a choice. But this kid had.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
A choice, made a choice, and now he's 13 years old, and you're saying, ah.
I think it's very simple. Plus, you know, Steph Curry's from there, but doesn't play for their teams. Their teams stink. The Panthers, the freaking Hornets. What if they won? You got Alonzo and Larry Johnson still don't win. Nah. With that, Life of Us with the Hammer, we shut down. That was amazing. You got Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning back-to-back drafts and went
one
nowhere.
Nothing.
I have to
went
tell you,
nowhere.
I was always an Eagles, a Philly fan, born and raised, but there were times when I was a Pittsburgh fan. A Steelers fan, and I was a Miami Dolphins fan.
Whoa,
there
whoa,
certain,
whoa.
Certain players that I liked.
Hold on. First off,
you should keep your mouth shut.
Second off, saying.
What you talking about, Willis?
There were a lot of Dolphins fans around here, especially with Dan Marino. Well, there were just were
the
growing
Hornets,
up.
The Hornets, too. Remember that, the starter jacket? That was like
that.
The most common starter jacket.
So, Ruben, are you old enough to remember the 72 Dolphins?
Yeah.
Is that what kind of hooked you in, or is it the colors?
Was it Larry Zonka?
Larry Zonka.
I was a Larry Zonka fan.
And the other back just died.
Mercury Morris just passed away.
I collected his 7-Eleven cup. You know what?
I mean, I can sort of get that. I loved Walter Payton.
I did too.
It made me love the 85 Bears.
85 Bears.
And I was a Bradshaw fan.
They lost to the Dolphins on, I think it was Monday Night Football that year, 85.
That's right.
I was devastated.
The one game they lost.
Yeah.
And by the way, badass move by Shula. 72 Dolphins on the sideline.
Mm.
On the sideline during that game to spur on the 85 Dolphins to beat the 85 Bears so the 85 Bears would not go undefeated. It's a badass move.
It's
by
a
Dunn
boss Joel. Move.
It is a boss move. It really is. All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, we got Time's Yours in about 10 minutes and a million things to get to here this segment. Let me say a few things. First off, Derrick Rose retired today. Look. It's a sad situation that such a remarkable athlete was derailed by an injury. And in my lifetime, there are very, very, very few athletes who were more derailed that were at that level.
Yeah, he was going to be one of the greatest.
He really was.
So. He was MVP caliber type
player.
Youngest ever, right?
I believe so.
Youngest ever MVP, I think.
I mean, LeBron was in his prime, and other guys were great, and Derrick Rose grabbed that MVP, and rightfully so. So, and that happened in a playoff game against the Sixers. So... You know, I feel, you know, some sadness that we didn't get to see what could have been for the last 10 years. I mean, but anyway, Derrick Rose retired. Turkey Bowl. Let me tell you about Turkey Bowl. So Sunday is the last day. For all the school administrators and athletic directors out there, you have until Sunday to submit your rivalry, the game that, you know, your team is involved in and, the other team, for this year's Turkey Bowl. We are going to air on WIP either Thanksgiving Eve or Thanksgiving this year. One or the other, either the Wednesday or the Thursday, a game, as we have for many years, where John and I announced the game. Here's the website you need to know, 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. Submit your school, submit the game, so that your school, that game can be featured this Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving week here on WIP. We look forward to doing that. So get those submissions in and obviously get them in pretty quick. Let me also tell you, this time tomorrow, Dave Dombrowski on the show. Tomorrow, 9:30, Dombrowski. We'll do a pretty comprehensive interview, obviously, as the Phils get set for the postseason. We'll go through a lot. Dombrowski tomorrow at this time. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Good, buddy.
So, first of all, I want to make a quick acknowledgement because it's probably the only time that anything about Temple football will get acknowledged on this radio station all year. But the longest field goal in the history of Lincoln Financial Field now belongs to Maddox Trujillo.
Yeah, it's a great accomplishment. And you know what, Ken, and I hate to skew negative because it's nothing about him, and that's a great thing. I think field goal kicking is getting out of control.
Joe, I'm so with you.
It's too much.
Dude, like this Dallas guy, Brandon Aubrey, like...
he's ridiculous.
It doesn't matter where you're on the field. It's like you only need like two first downs, and it's like, here we go, just give it to Aubrey. And he's going to kick a 64-yarder with no problem.
So, Ken, I don't know the solution, although I would strongly consider in the pros narrowing the goalposts. I really would. I think it's at that point. It's just too much. You know, David Akers described to me a couple years ago five or six adjustments that were made in pro football over the last 20 years that have led to the incredible percentages. One of which is, you know, you have a designated guy now, like the punter. Like, back in the day, backup quarterbacks were often the holder. And so the backup quarter, like the kicker would have to wait for the backup quarterback to leave the offense to come over and kick. And now it's just the punter. And so it's just the punter and the kicker and the punter and the kicker. And so they've got the technique down. He described to me the whole thing. And it's just getting out of control. But anyway, congrats to the Temple kid.
Yeah, you just know somewhere Nick Saban scratches his head saying, I wish I had a guy like that a few years ago.
Yeah, dude, big time.
Well, how about Bobby Bowden back in the 90s when he lost like three championships?
Yeah, you're right. It's another one.
Wide right, Bobby, wide right, wide left. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So, and Joe, on your nerves, you were telling everybody in May and June, just enjoy the journey. So I'm gonna throw your advice right back at you, man. Just enjoy the journey. We don't get a lot of seasons like this.
I am, but,
so,
you know,
enjoy it.
We know it can end pretty quick. I mean, we saw the Braves, let's be real, Ken, be better than the Phillies the last 2 years by far in the regular season and then get their clocks clean quickly.
I know. At my age, I know I'm going to have plenty of opportunity to feel bad after the fact,
okay.
So I'm not going to feel bad before. listen, on Jalen real quick, because the conversation about Jalen this morning, I made this comp a couple weeks ago, maybe. I'm starting to come around. Obviously, the arm isn't there, but I'm starting to come around to just this acceptance that he's kind of going to be our Brett Favre, right? Like the highs of some of the great plays he's going to make.
That's disrespectful to Favre.
Why do we feel as though he turns the ball over as
his
trait now?
Because that's his trait.
Half of last season was bad for everyone. This season, coming out the gates, it's been bad, but it's been a departure in my mind from what we're most accustomed to seeing,
which is
him being protective of the football in the RPO game. Once upon a time, that's why
But they're doing
that's
less
why
RPO.
He got this contract.
But John, they're actually doing. They're trying to make it more full field reads, more Kellen Moore, more pro style offense.
We got a new offensive coordinator. So, that's all part of this too. He's learning a new offense.
But until he stops turning the ball over, he stops turning the ball over, you have to accept that right now in this moment he has been a turnover prone quarterback, and it's fair to say that.
I agree.
I don't think it's fair to say a turnover prone quarterback when I saw Devontae. Look, that I don't know who to blame.
That one could go either way.
I understand that the fumble is unacceptable, and that is something that he can control by putting two hands on the football. Yeah. And I know that's going to be, they're going to be harping on that. I think that will be better. I've seen him be better with that.
Ken, I got so many things to get to, my man, so let me move here. Give me what happened only one time.
So, Joe, I've been giving you this advice that you should follow this example with Beat the Hammer after you win on Friday. J.D. Salinger wrote one full-length book, in probably the best book in the English language, and then dropped the mic. So,
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't think he's I don't think he's the only author to have only one book that's.
Yeah, well, Harper Lee for a while, right? And then they had the sequel came out, but she didn't actually put it out herself and stuff like that.
Right.
But Harper Lee was an example of that for a long time.
I mean, John, what about the Gospels? I mean, did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John write another book? What do we know about them?
Did Mary Shelley keep writing
stuff? Look at you. I don't know.
Mary Shelley was like a 15-year-old.
That was funny.
All right. So let's get to something here. Speaking of funny, Richie Ashburn. Yes, we're going to get to Richie Ashburn in a moment. But prior to that, I want to tell you something that can happen today in sports that has never happened before in the modern era of baseball. Now, baseball in the 1800s was the Wild West, okay? I mean,
the Cleveland Spiders.
Yeah, I mean, stuff was happening. It was all over the place, okay? And it was kind of unformed. It was formed, but it was all, you know. So baseball determined at a certain point, 1900 is the line of demarcation, what they call the modern era of baseball. And in the modern era of baseball, there has never...
I think it's 1901, technically.
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah. Okay. In the modern era of baseball, baseball has never had a team lose 121 games. Tonight, the Chicago White Sox can become the first team in the modern era of baseball to lose 121 games. Guys, they have a record right now that is, 38?
Yeah, 38 or 37.
I believe it's 38 and 120. We could look it up. But bottom line is the Mets finished in 62, 42 and 120. That's what they netted out to, 42 and 120. Tonight, the White Sox can get to 121, and obviously with four games to go. I mean, they're going to. They're not going to finish with a five-game winning streak. They actually won yesterday. All right, now
you never know.
They won two in a row, probably all year long.
A six-game winning streak. All right, let's listen. So I say that because for those of you that are younger and maybe under the age of 25, you might not know much at all about Richie Ashburn. But in my lifetime, I don't think there's been a more beloved figure in Philadelphia sports. Now, I'm not saying he's number one. Kelsey's up there. Doc's up there. Harry Callis is up there. Dr. J's up there. But so is Richie Ashburn. Like, he was on the top line that I've ever seen in Philadelphia sports of beloved after being a Hall of Fame player, although he didn't get to the Hall until he was much later in life. Phenomenal announcer for about 30, 35 years with the Phils. I want to go back because he was such a great storyteller. Now, Richie Ashburn, the day he got into the Baseball Hall of Fame, inducted, He concluded his speech with a great story about how the 62 Mets season ended. He was on base. They had a shot because they got two guys on base. But he rounds it out with something really fitting about him making the Hall of Fame and how special it was for him. We never can get enough of listening to Richie Ashburn.
First and second, nobody out. Joe Pignatano hit what appeared to be a sure base hit, a little semi-line drive and shallow right center field. Sammy Drake takes off from second. I take off from first. Kenny Hubbs, who died a year later in a plane crash, great fielder, ran back on the dead run. He caught the ball, the web in his glove. He turned over about six times, held on to the ball, threw it to second out, back to first, triple play. Ended our season, our 120th loss, a major league record. As we walked into the visitor's clubhouse, Casey Stengel was standing there. And he said to us, he said, "Fellers," he says, "I don't want anybody to feel bad about this." He said, "This has been a real team effort." He said, "No one or two people could have done all this." Well, that's what I'm going to quote, Stacy. No one or two people could have done all this, and everybody that had a part of it. God bless you, especially the fans. You have made this the greatest day of my life.
Awesome. Just awesome, Ruben.
He's the best.
He was the best.
The best.
So, Ruben, we still have about five things to get to before the end of the show, but can you just give us a quick, I don't know if we've ever talked to you on the air, Richie Ashburn, I mean, from your perspective, what do you got?
You know, I had an opportunity to be around him on a couple of different levels, but the coolest thing was to be able to just be around him like on the airplanes. He and Harry Callis, both of them.
Yeah.
I used to get a chance. My biggest moment was sitting in the back, you know, having a alcoholic beverage with Harry.
Sorry, and you were of age. You
maybe,
can say it.
And maybe a heater or two, but.
Nice.
Being able to just talk to those guys and to have and to listen to them their knowledge. But you know, Richie was like amazing athlete, great tennis player. He talked about his tennis. I mean, people talk about, you know, baseball players talk about golf.
Yeah.
His thing was tennis, man. He and he's also part was the reason why we started the Richie Ashburn Foundation.
Sure, of course.
Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis Foundation, because you know, he was all about the kids. He was always about how important this sport was and how important it was for kids to enjoy the game of baseball, and his, you know, true passion for competition and for the game of baseball. Always very, very special.
Yeah, Richie was, I mean, for me growing up listening to him and Harry, obviously it was...
Tough moment for me when he passed. I was playing on the team. And I was there at the hotel when things happened. So I sadly was, you know, part of both of their deaths, and that was not a
both on the road.
Yeah, and it was a real difficult moments for us, just because of what they meant. And now as a broadcaster, I think about it even more. Like I have, you know, I go into the booth at times, you know, it's a Harry Callison, the Richie Ashburn booths, and I think to myself, man, I cannot believe that I get to work in the same sort of environment as they, you know, as they did. And I'm very grateful for that.
That's awesome. Ribbit really is. So again, I mean, Richie special beyond belief.
Yep.
And tonight we'll see. I mean, the Chicago White Sox, are they going for loss 121? I guess they're trying to avoid it, but they're going to get it sooner than later. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
All right, Phillies clinch the bye. So this should be the rotation, and let's hope that they're smart enough to do it this way. Number one, of course, Zach Wheeler. Can't argue that. Number two, Sanchez. His ERA at home and home games is much better than on the road. Number three is Aaron Nola. Number four is Ranger Suarez. As far as Mr. Walker, take him to the airport now.
Well,
is that a Merrill Reese sound alike?
Somewhat.
Is he trying?
Would Aaron Nola be upset?
I appreciate Ruben. Great.
No.
Okay.
Much like you, Joe, I appreciate greatness and domination. You know, Gretzky, Tyson, Jordan. And it's long overdue and about time this station recognizes the greatness on this show. John Ritchie's domination of the poll question is undeniably the most impressive feat I've ever heard on the radio.
Yeah.
I think he even deserves a game show of his own. Smash the forehead.
I like it, man. No, it's an incredible thing. The way, look, we'll find out in a moment if John nails it with this poll today. Yep, good stuff.
Hey, Rube, take a sip of my beer. Let me know what you think.
Okay, Jason. That's really good. Only one word really would sum this beer up, and that is delicious.
Delicious.
Well done. Love it. And with that, time's yours. Well done. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So a couple things here. James, I need you to send me the poll result on Jalen Hurts, please. And let's, in the meantime, also get to the poll result for the best character or example of a fictional royal. Now, the finals this hour were the Lion King, Prince Hakeem of Zamunda, and Zeus, King of the Gods. Rhea, which would you vote for?
Lion King.
Okay, Lion King won in our group. Seltzer, you would go where?
I would go Prince Hakeem.
Ruben?
Lion King.
I would go Prince Hakeem. John Ritchie.
Oh, man. This is so... Is this coming down to me?
Well, ultimately, who's going to win the tickets is going to be determined based on the poll result, not your vote. Which would you pick?
I know, it's really hard for me to pick. I think it's close here. Lion King is going to win with 60%.
Lion King wins with 52%. Prince Hakeem, 30%. Zeus, 18%. James, man. I know you got the winner in there for who wins the tickets.
Congratulations to Ken winning the tickets.
Ken wins the tickets from yesterday. All right, good work there. That was a fun poll. We also got to round out today's... Oh, let me get to the Jalen Hurts poll in one moment. I'm going to get to that in a second. Let me also round out for who wins the tickets from today's show for what's happened only one time. So D.B. Cooper, a plane being hijacked and ultimately landing, but the person that hijacked it never being found.
That's a very practical answer.
There's
very
that.
Very true.
Smallpox and the Big Bang are the two that stand out to me.
Smallpox. Big Bangs happen more than once, some people say. I would go with smallpox.
It's a little dark.
I hate that.
No, it's the eradication of a disease.
It's not dark. It's a positive thing. It's a great thing.
All right, Ruben, you make the call. What are we going with?
I go smallpox.
Okay.
Got to grab that as a drop.
Mike has won the tickets. All right, final thing. James, I still need the...
I told you in your ear.
Oh, you did tell
me. Can I give you one?
All right, yes.
Yeah. First kiss.
Yeah, but everyone has one. We're talking about what's happened only once in human history.
You only have has one first kiss.
I got you. That's true. All right, so we got to round up the poll. Is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback? John, how do you think people voted today?
Oh, man. I think people are upset and they're going to vote against him right now, the general consensus. So 40% are going to say he is.
48% say he is a top 10 quarterback. When we did this poll back in the summer, 61% said he is. So it is slipping a bit.
Wow.
We'll see where it goes. By the way, Odyssey app, make sure you check out the Odyssey app to hear any parts of today's show, including the hour that Jason Kelce was in the studio. If you missed it, it's all there for you on the Odyssey app.